Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I dated a young woman in college who was deathly allergic to tomatoes. Deathly allergic. About a year before we had met, she had had to go to the ER. She was visiting with some friends, and this was the 90s, so the way that you made a meal special was by incorporating sun-dried tomatoes into it. Today, I think you would use something like kale. I don't know. Blueberries, whatever's trendy right now. But it was the 90s, and so it was sun-dried tomatoes. They hadn't told her. So she'd had this meal, and then it had led to this trip to the ER. We'd been seeing each other for a little while. We went out to dinner with her parents. We went to the Olive Garden, because we were in college, and that was fancy. And now I have children and no money. This, the Olive Garden is even more fancy than I can go to. But that's okay. We went to the Olive Garden and, we sat down for our meal. We actually eaten there before. And, they always bring out that big all-you-can-eat salad thing beforehand. You ever been there before? So before they went to prepare the salad, we made sure to make this reference that, hey, she's allergic to tomatoes, so please don't put any in. And it's not good enough to just take them out. You have to make it from scratch. No problem. So waitress went off. Conversation around the table. A little while later, she comes back with the salad, and we start dishing it all up. We've all taken a couple bites when she notices a tomato seed in the salad. She didn't eat it. It's like, wait a minute, this isn't okay. Call the waitress back over and say, I'm sorry, excuse me, this is really important. It's not okay to just remove the tomatoes. It has to not go in there at all. She's really, really allergic. This is really important. No, I'm sorry, I'm very sorry, no problem. She goes off and does her thing. And we keep talking around the table, and after a while, the waitress comes back, and we look at the salad. What do you think we saw?
Tomato
seeds. Well, now her dad starts getting pretty angry. Very angry, actually. God bless him. He was a Vietnam War vet and a chief in the Spokane Fire Department. A manly man. Always did intimidate me. Don't have to deal with that anymore, which is nice. He starts getting angry and very loud. Starts getting furious and shaking his fist at this poor waitress, saying, what is wrong with you? We made it so clear. What is wrong with you? I want to see a manager. He's ticked off. Manager comes over, and this guy is still fussing and fuming and just furious about this. He starts yelling at the manager about this dressing and what's wrong with your staff and why can't they do what they're supposed to do, and made it so clear you can't just remove it. You have to make it from scratch. So we talk a little more, and you know what we find out? The dressing on their salads has tomato in it. You follow me? It wasn't the tomatoes, whole tomatoes had been put in and removed. It was the dressing itself had tomato in it. That's why we saw the seed. What's more, she'd had this dressing on multiple occasions in the past. But because it was cooked, because it was processed, the protein in the tomato that she was allergic to was no longer a threat. You following me? The waitress hadn't done anything wrong. The staff hadn't done anything wrong. Everyone had done exactly as they were supposed to do. And this man's anger, while I understand where it had come from, was completely misguided. Because in truth, his daughter was in no danger. She never had been. She'd had this dressing 5, 6, 12 times before in the past. To the best of my knowledge, maybe she even eats there now. I don't know. We don't talk anymore. Peter became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the food was being prepared, he fell into a trance, and he saw the heaven opened and something like a large sheet coming down, being lowered to the ground by its four corners. In it were all kinds of four-footed creatures and reptiles and birds of the air. And then Peter heard a voice saying, "Get up, kill and eat." But he said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is profane or unclean." And the voice said to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." And then Peter began to speak to the men, "I truly understand that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to God." Peter was a devout follower of Jesus Christ. But he was also a strong believer in a very strict purity code. That was what made that vision he saw so shocking to him. He was learning in that vision that his attempts to stay pure were misguided. And God wanted him to think bigger and wider. Peter had worked very hard his entire life to follow a certain set of rules, to believe a certain way, to see people a certain way, to see certain people as clean and unclean. His motives were totally pure. No pun intended. But his motives were pure. He honestly thought that there were the insiders and the outsiders. That woman and her family that I was talking about back in college, they had spent a lifetime convinced that certain foods were dangerous to her, that certain foods were toxic, and that there was no way for her and that food to be compatible. And all the while, without her even knowing it, she'd been consuming it safely and without incident. But out of fear and out of ignorance, as we sat in that restaurant and as her father lashed out at that waitress, he was lashing out at someone who was challenging that belief about what was safe, what was good, what was pure, what was okay, what was acceptable and what was not. And that whole time he was lashing out, he was wrong. He was honest in his intention. He was pure in his intention. But he was wrong. What is God challenging us to eat today? What are we trying to keep pure about, despite God telling us that purity is impossible or misguided? Who are the people we avoid and condemn because we've told ourselves that we're more pure if we do so? Because none of this is about food, right? Not really. None of this vision of Peter is about food. It's about people. It's about something much more important. It's about who we associate with, who we see as worthy of being part of the community. And the thing of it is, I don't know everyone's background in here, but I promise you, whether you think of yourself as conservative or liberal or somewhere in between, I promise you, We all have people who we don't want to think of as worthy of being a part of the community. A few weeks ago, we heard this parable from Jesus, where he talks about the sheep and the goats. Remember that, some of you? Separating the sheep from the goats. And the temptation whenever we hear that story is always to tell ourselves, don't be a goat. Don't miss out on your chance for heaven. But that wasn't his point. That was never his point. His point wasn't about don't miss your ticket. His point was about who do you care for and who do you care about? It's that song, "They Will Know We Are Christians by Our Love." We sing it. Do we live it? I hope we do. I know I don't always, but I try. The point in that whole sheep-goat story was never about punch your ticket to heaven. It was about caring for the powerless in society, caring for the outcasts. The point today is not about how do you keep yourself pure. The point's about how do we create a society that purely reflects Christ. Let us pray. We come to you, O God, filled with joy in our hearts, thankful for the resurrection of your Son, thankful for the gift of new life we've found in you. We ask you to bless us this day and always, to help us to live and walk in ways that reflect your message of hope and peace and joy and love. We pray all of these things knowing that we struggle with them as human beings, but that we are empowered by you to grow and to move forward. We pray this trusting in your holy name. Amen.